What time is it? It's Packard Folks at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardFolksAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Folks at and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Folks at, and I'm poking at your news.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Packard Pokes at the Midweek Show. This is episode 481. Wow, these are slipping by in these days. We're almost to the big 500. Connie, what do you got for us tonight for our stories?
Well, this is on Yahoo, but it happened on NPR. National Public Radio. Yeah, National Public Radio tweeted out the Declaration of Independence on Tuesday to mark the 4th of July holiday, but not everybody understood what was going on.
And they thought it was an Orson Welles invasion and everybody had to run for their lives.
Trump tweeted back.
The British are coming.
Yeah.
Fake declaration.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Some supporters of Trump didn't recognize one of the nation's founding documents and accused NPR of inciting violence and even revolution.
What?
Yes.
We're reading the document that our country is founded on. We're inciting revolution.
Many of these comments have since been deleted, and at least one user deleted an entire Twitter account. Oh, if only Trump would do that, right?
Yeah. Well, at least they're showing some amount of common sense.
This is true.
Well, no, they
yeah, whatever common sense they have.
Yeah, it's they're showing common sense. They were showing that, oh my God, I am really a fucking idiot.
Yeah, and well, that's what I mean.
I don't want anybody else knowing how fucking stupid I am.
Well, that's what I mean. They're bright enough to know how stupid they are embarrassed enough to make, you know, themselves scarce.
Yes.
So they're not complete idiots.
So they're not complete morons at that point.
Just mostly.
Mostly.
They're still morons, though.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. They are still morons. Absolutely.
Hey, you know what they say? It's better to be more on than more off.
True.
I think it's better to be more off than more on.
Well, one of the replies, this is why you're going to get defunded to NPR, you know, for posting, because they think that they're attacking the president. They think that they're attacking the president and inciting riot and revolution, you know, and I just thought that was hilarious this morning.
Well, they think it's an attack on the president. If you say something wrong about it, oh, it's an attack on the president.
Exactly what I was thinking. They think that everything is attack on the president. Not that he has real high poll numbers. He's like in the low 30s right now, I think.
Goth Ms. Frizzle says, there's nothing more American than getting pissed because you think the Declaration of Independence is shitting on the president.
Well, it pretty much is. It pretty much is.
Yeah, it talks about tyrants and everything. So, you know, that's what they were. A lot of people are just like, what? Well, if the shoe fits.
If the shoe fits, and if you're talking about tyrants, then you must be talking about Donald Trump, obviously.
But the gloves and the tie never do so.
No. Tom, what do you got for us tonight?
Well, Canada has taken the first step into a new utopia. A hospital in British Columbia let a couple allow their child to be non-sexed.
They
did not do a sex check. I'm sure they did check, but they didn't issue the birth certificate right away because the couple didn't want the child to be identified one way or the other. They were later issued a birth certificate identifying the child as U, and that's just the letter U, which I guess stands for unidentified. But one of the parents is a transgender. To be honest, I wasn't sure if it was the mother who was transgender who is now. Mm-hmm. Who identifies as a man or vice versa. Sometimes it's hard to tell. I hate to be judgmental, but it's...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like, yeah,
just
no, I,
just
I've
tell
been,
me what you want me to call you.
I've been... I've been I've been hearing about this seeing the posts from the right on this online, and they're like, oh, liberalism, look how horrible liberalism is. Oh, they can't even identify the sex of their child. They're just blow it all up. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, go fuck off. It's somebody that just decided not to give the child to assign the child a gender because and that's perfectly fine. If they want to do that, that's on them. That's on them. It's not taking the state down. It's not taking the government down. Oh, my God. What, we're going to have a bunch of yous running around? Oh, no. The world's coming to an end. It impacts your gender. How?
Well, they recognize, you know, being one of the parents is transgender, that being assigned a gender at birth can be limiting, especially if you're, you know, fluid in your gender. Yeah. And the whole thing with the bathrooms is like saying, oh, you got to go by the gender you were assigned with. Like, well, I was assigned with the wrong gender. Oh, it's too bad. That's what you got to use. It's like, well, if you're not assigned at birth, you can assign yourself once you are sure what you are. My cousin, who, I mean, he was, you know, typical boy kid. He came out transgender actually a couple of years ago, and you know, he's slowly making transgender. He's married and he has a child, and now the child basically has two mothers. And he had a very hard time because he was never like a very boyish boy, but he had three sisters. So in comparison, he seemed like a boy. So everyone like, yeah, you're a boy. But he never quite felt like a boy. But having no real point to identify himself, he just thought, you know, I'm just a little different. It wasn't until he was much older and seeing just the amount of people who've come out as transgender, that he was able to identify exactly what it is that why he felt different. And I think that's helpful to a child not to be assigned. I mean, my daughter's very clearly a girl, and I'm making her very aware of transgendered people and explaining to her that some people, even though they're born as a boy, they don't feel like a boy, and certain aspects of them are very feminine that make them more like a girl. And later on, they identify as a girl, and that's fine. And of course, as a child, she's like, that's weird. I'm like, well, it is kind of weird. But it's like, how do you feel right now? Do you ever feel like you're a boy? She goes, sometimes. And like, do you ever feel like a girl? It's like, oh, yeah, all the time. It's like, well, it's kind of like that, but kind of reverse, where they know that they look like a girl, but they feel and act like a boy. And that's how they identify. And sometimes they feel and act like a girl, so then they can fit in, but they really want to be a boy. And I think assigning a child or not assigning a child a sex, in the end, it's going to be extremely helpful to society. Because what does it matter? I mean, the kid's going to figure it out. What does it matter if they're a boy or girl? I keep telling my daughter, you know, she wants to, you know, wear a bikini top or not wear a bikini top with her bathing suit. I'm like, it's fine. You're a child. You don't have anything.
She shouldn't be wearing that anyways.
You could just as easily have short hair and I could call you a boy and no one would really question me other than the fact that you act very girly. So I want her to understand that, you know, sex is a hang up that a lot of people have, that her mother has. And, you know, that was kind of one of the ends of our marriage was her hang up on sex. And I'm trying to make my daughter very aware that sex is not something to be hung up on, that, you know, just being happy is what you want in the end, and not be hung up on what sex you are or who you're attracted to. And it's maybe unusual for someone to be gay, but it's not weird. It's not, you know, it's not odd. It's not wrong. It's just not the typical thing. And, you know, let's face it.
That's why coming out is so important.
Yeah,
it's so
imperative, exactly.
Because I mean, it normalizes it.
It's a very small percentage of the population. So it stands out when somebody is gay, or and an even smaller percentage of the population is transsexual. So it stands out when somebody comes out. That doesn't make it weird. That just makes it non-typical. It's out of the ordinary, like an albino, or, you know, I'll probably get flack for that. But it's just something you don't see very often stands out as weird, but it doesn't mean it's weird. It's just being more aware of it helps make people realize that it's not weird. It's just, you know, some people are like that. Anyhow, that's my rant. I hope this will be a pivotal thing in Canada that parents who don't want to identify the sex of the children don't have to.
I want to see if that's going to be legal here.
Well, you know, there's
not for at least 4 years.
It's in Hawaiian culture. They don't, traditionally, they didn't name even name babies until they were a year old. They didn't, you didn't really, that at 1 year old, you have this big party. Now that has more to do with, they were afraid that demons, you know, or spirits would come and steal the child. So if it doesn't have a name, it can't be found and all that.
Yeah.
But just the whole idea of delaying something like that is interesting. So I don't know. But then again, I've been saying for a long time, you know, we bring babies home in pink and blue blankets and we just assume, you know, this. And we have to pigeonhole things. We categorize things, I guess. Maybe it's partly our nature, but it would sure be nice if we could use this frontal lobe that we've worked on for how many thousands of years and put it to use to move beyond some of these things. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, I think people need to know how people identify so they know how to relate to them. I know several years ago, there were parents who had the sex of their child basically concealed. I mean, it still said on the birth certificate, but they had their the child's birth certificate sealed. And they presented the child basically as sexless. And people were freaking the fuck out. They like, you can't do that. That's you know, immoral. You can't not tell us what sex your child is.
Well, and there, and people and parents trying to claim that that's harmful to the child too. Yeah. That you're doing terrible by the child. Well, I've had this discussion with a couple relatives, and I said, well, how is it harmful to the child? And they just, you know, they bluster about.
Yeah. My daughter's a very girly girl, and her mother, of course, got like a pirate, everything pink. And after we separated, my daughter's like, I don't like pink. I like blue. I'm like, that's awesome. I like blue too. Blue doesn't mean anything. Just you know, it's a color preference. And her friend across the street, who's a boy, he likes pink. So she just,
they can trade.
You know, telling kids what they should or should not like by what sex they are, that's damaging.
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter, or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 662-709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokesAt on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show? Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokesAt, or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable,
fire, fire, fire,
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. Matt, what stories have you got for us tonight?
Okay, this is from the New Zealand Herald. The Vatican rocked. Police raid drug-fueled gay orgy at Cardinal's apartment.
Oh, that's nice.
I found this on Facebook last night. It was actually sent to me. Vatican police have raided a Cardinal's apartment where a drug-fueled homosexual orgy was taking place. Police entered an apartment at the former palace of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, or Holy Office, last month, not far from the Vatican City. The occupant of the apartment is alleged to be a priest who serves as secretary to Cardinal Francesco Coco Palmario. That's a long name. The head of the Pontifical Council for Legislative Text and personal advisor to the Pope. The allegations of the orgy were first published by newspaper Fatto.
Il Fatto Quotidiano.
Yeah.
Il Fatto Quotidiano.
According to the paper, neighbors became suspicious before complaining about irregular behavior of those coming and going in the apartment. When police showed up at the apartment, they reportedly found the drugs and a group of men engaged in sexual activity. The priest was then arrested and taken for questioning.
Il fatto.
Yeah, the El Fato suggested that Pope Francis was infuriated by the news and may force Coco Palomario into retirement.
Oh, only then will he force these people into retirement.
Well, it goes on here. It says the alleged orgy is symptomatic of a difficult period for the Pope. 4 years into his papacy, Catholic Church appears racked by conflict and scandal.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. That's nice. Critics blame the Pope's choice of personnel. Cardinal George Pell, appointed to clean up the Vatican's murky finances, has taken a leave of absence to defend himself against sex abuse charges in Australia.
Oh, that's dandy.
Of course, this is new for Catholic
Church. You notice that if it's kid diddling, then hey, that's fine. But if it's if it's homosexuality, well, then you have to be removed.
Yeah.
So such bullshit.
I was reading this last night. I'm like, oh my god, you gotta be freaking kidding me. It's just,
I just want to let everybody know that we had a little technical difficulty. Well, I did anyway. So I missed a lot of the conversation. So I don't know what was all covered, but I'm going to jump into the story that I brought. Apparently, evangelicals are switching terms on gay rights. This comes from the Pathos blog. The graph shows response to this question. When sexual freedoms and religious freedom conflict, which freedoms do you feel is more important? 48% respondents said religious freedom was more important. 24% said sexual freedom was more important. And 28% said that they weren't sure. But the highest rate of unsure responses ought to signal that if something is unclear about the question, it is indeed what it would look like from a religious freedom and sexual freedom conflict. What does sexual freedom even mean? Presumably the question is a reference to evangelicals who do not wish to bake cakes for same-sex weddings. If so, however, the term sexual freedom seems to be out of place. Or is sexual freedom so widely defined here that it is to include same-sex marriage along with same-sex adoption, fertility treatments for lesbians, and possibly even for trans medical services? That's what this is here. It's really bizarre that the religion seems to think it gets more rights than what you want to do with your own body as far as, having sex.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So by the way, Packard, we can't see you, or at least I can't see you. I don't know if you're...
I don't know what's going on. There's a good reason why you can't see me, is because, well...
You're sitting in the dark?
I'm sitting in the dark. I'm doing the show by candlelight. There's actually a good reason. I had to restart my computer, and I have special software that I have running to do my visuals, and I've been too frantic trying to get the computer running so I could actually hear everybody, because I lost connection, and I was like, no, we're not, we can't hear you. So yeah, we're like, if you're like seeing my background, you're like seeing half of the video at the moment, which you're going to be seeing here in a moment. I just gotta wait for, I have another program. It takes a couple programs to get this damn shit running.
Yeah, we see your background. I just don't see you.
Yeah, you'll see me in a minute as soon as, maybe you won't. I don't know. Oh, my camera's off.
Disappeared.
Packard is invisible tonight.
Yep, he's a ghost.
I'm a ghost.
Cool. We'll get a lot more views then.
Yeah.
People will argue about it for months.
Packard, the friendly ghost, you know.
Boo.
Because my computer's still kind of restarting here, and that's probably the reason why. I don't know. Something's going on. Well, don't worry about it. It's turned into a podcast. No one sees me then anyway, so it really doesn't matter. You're looking at my ghost. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what's going on. Doesn't matter. Fuck it.
We hear you, but we don't see you.
Yeah.
That's good. We never see Connie in yet, so.
Yeah, we never see Connie anyway, so, hey.
That's me holding the cat.
Yeah.
Only see me on occasion.
Yeah, we only see Tom only on occasion, so.
And I am fully dressed this time.
Thank you for that, Tom.
Jeez,
thank you for that. I did. I
At
did
least
have
from what you can tell.
Yeah, I did have... I did have another story here. I'm trying to, I sussed out like a couple of these here. This one here was kind of funny. I thought Confederate flag waver protester accidentally shot himself while at a rally on July 2nd during a counter protest at Gettysburg National Park on a self-described patriot ended up shooting himself. The counter protester was described as a First Amendment demonstration. Men were seen dressed as in camouflage carrying rifles and handguns, according to local TV station Fox 43. Benjamin Hornberger, Okay. Your own name. Make up your own jokes there, gentlemen and ladies. Age 23, accidentally discharges personal revolver into his leg. He then accidentally discharged another round while trying to remove the bullet from the gun. The rest of the bullet. I should say, let me clarify. He tried to remove the other bullets from the gun while he was trying to remove the other bullets he actually shot again. The gun fired after he placed the flagpole he was carrying in the holster, witnesses told PennLive.com. According to Kate Lawhon, a spokeswoman for the National Park, the gun was not in good condition. It apparently was an old gun, not in good working order, Lawhon explained. The park officials immediately gave first aid by applying a tourniquet, which some say saved his life. He was rushed to a nearby hospital. It looks like he'll be okay, said the U.S. Parks spokeswoman. Now, I got to say something real quick here. This guy is up for a Darwin Award. Because the fact is, if he had not been, you know, in a national park, then it's possible that he might not have gotten the help he needed. I'm just saying.
Well, this reminds me of a police officer was, or I don't even know if it was a police officer, but there was somebody that was giving a gun demonstration in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he shot himself.
Yeah, I've heard of that story. I've seen the video. The cop is like, he's like, oh, you got to talk. He's carrying his gun in his pocket or in his holster. And then he says, well, this, you have to handle the gun. He goes to reach and pull it out. And he accidentally discharges it because the stupid fucker forgot to put its safety on. And even though he shot himself in the leg, he's like, all right, is everybody okay? Is everybody okay? Yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah, motherfucker, yeah. We're okay.
We know where the bullet went. Well, that's.
I heard there was a. Came across the story that some guy shot himself right in the groin. I guess the gun was in his pocket or something, and it went off. And
now that's the Darwin Award because he took himself.
Got him where it counts, apparently.
Well, sadly, I don't know if this was local or if this was something I read on Yahoo. But a dad was showing sons about cleaning a gun, and there was a bullet in the chamber, and he shot his daughter and killed her.
Oh no!
Oh, yeah. That happened here. I thought in Illinois, maybe.
You know what? I think you're right. I think it did say Illinois. Now that
how old was yeah. How old was his daughter?
Oh,
she was young, like maybe 7, maybe.
Oh no! See, little daughter. See, this is how you mishandle a gun. You will never know this because I killed you dead.
Well, you know, there's more children that are killed by, you know, homeowners' guns.
Yeah.
Either by the homeowner themselves or by one of the other kids or one of the kids' friends.
Yeah.
Or the kids get a hold of it, you know, and it goes off. I mean, that happens here all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. 9 years old. I'm sorry. I just found a blurb about it. So.
Okay.
Oh, she was 9 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, we ran way over time. And I'm going to have a hell of a time editing this now. If you would like to make a donation to the show, keep this shit from happening for me. Keep me from crashing my goddamn fucking piece of shit computer. Go to paypal.me/packardpokesat. You can make a donation to the show from there directly to me. For as little as a dollar once a month, once a day, once a year, whatever you want to, whatever you got, or $1 million once a year or once every day, you know, whatever you, if you got $1 million laying around, that's up to you, of course. Or you can go to patreon.com/packardpokesat. You can make a donation there to the show as well. All right. Well, we'll get out of here. We'll be back at 9 p.m. Central Time right here on youtube.com/packardpokesat. Hopefully, I will have my camera fixed by then.
Hopefully.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
And that's a wrap.